Chris Baldwin is one of the hardest working campaigners that I've ever met. I know he lit up all over the place, but I know he lit up East Sussex. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to start off by talking about Brent East. We were supposed to fight a by-election in Brent East, and I've got to say that, you know, we did make mistakes, but we were very much at the mercies of the big political machinery, which kind of buggered us up in many ways anyway. In brief, I just want to say, my sincere apologies to anyone who feels that we've let the campaign down by not actually getting that one together, but all I can say is sorry, kids. Anyway, a little bit about coffee shops as well. I believe that, as Sarah said, Sarah so eloquently put it, that coffee shops actually did push the political issue very well. It brought people together out of the woodwork and into one place where there was those of us who were so politically motivated that rubbed off on other people. And, we've had, our lot have been up to London for demonstrations regarding Biz, who was so sort of disgustingly treated by the authorities. And the coffee shop has had some good political knock-on effects, really, you know. Oh, I'm winging it a bit here, sorry. Coffee shops, after a year now of coffee shops, from a personal viewpoint, I'd like to say to anyone who thinks that I've made a lot of money, I'm broken in debt, but I wouldn't have changed a thing. And I believe that, you know, some of the softening that's happening in the law and the what's being handed down to the police, because basically laws aren't changed in Parliament by legislation, but you have to realise as well that they can also pass messages down to the people and say, well, look, you know, soften your approach. And I think that's what's happening now, is the police are being told that, you know, this is no big deal anymore, and let's put it into the perspective. And as Steve again said, they're not going to do it all in one go, so any step in the right direction has to be welcomed. But obviously we keep going until we get everything we want. It's mine too. Now I want to speak to you quickly about something called Remedy. I recently had the privilege to meet a lady from Glastonbury called Stella, who was stayed in the Himalayas for a while. And we've all read things about and heard things about how hemp actually can save the planet. And what I'd like to tell you about is Stella and this thing she's put together called Remedy. Because what Stella has done is not only put forward the notion, but she's put forward a plan, a way that this can be done. And I'm going to give you a website in a minute, which I really do urge you to check out and look on, because I want this message got out. This is really positive stuff. Stella went to the Himalayas, and what she noticed was that there were areas where there was no cannabis growing and there was not much else growing. There are areas where there was cannabis growing and there was a lot growing, you know, a lot of other things growing. And what Stella says is that mountains are an important source of water, energy and biological diversity. As a major ecosystem representing the complex and interrelated ecology of our planet, mountain environments are essential to the survival of a global ecosystem. Most global mountain areas are experiencing environmental degradation. And she goes on to say about 10% of the world's population depends directly on mountain resources, and much larger percentage draws on mountain resources, including and especially water. Mountains are a storehouse of biological diversity and endangered species. And if we go to human beings are at the centre of concerns for sustainable development. They are entitled, that's we of course, us, they are entitled to a healthy and productive life in harmony with nature. And what Stella's put forward is that if the authorities would get together and plant cannabis in mountain regions, it would, apart from the fact that it would enable to give you an example, one of the facts is that where the cannabis isn't growing, they lose 90 tonnes of earth per hectare every year off the side of the mountain. 90 tonnes. Where the cannabis is growing, they lose 0.03 tonnes per year. So this is sustaining an essential ecosystem. We've heard Jack here and other people talk about this. It really is essential. You know, we talk about, I've for the last 2.5 years have talked about medical cannabis, social cannabis. This is the other side of cannabis, the one that really can help to save the world, that really can give our children, our grandchildren, and the world a future. And Remedy is, and they also predict that the collapse of the mountain ecosystem could be within 50 years if nothing's done. So again, I urge you to check this website out. For those of you who've got pen and paper, it's www.activeremedy.org.uk. If any of you don't get that or haven't got it, you can come and see me and get it off me. Where am I? Yeah. And there's a whole document that Stella has released, and if any of you want to take a look through it while you're here today, you're welcome. I can pass it around the room. It's fantastic, it really is. It makes sense, it's good common sense, it's logical. You can't fault this. And if any of you get to meet Stella, you'll be privileged to. Lastly, I'd just like to say that the thing I said last year in my speech was that I felt between last year and the year before was that finally people were listening. And unless if they don't listen, you're not going to get anywhere. And this year, I'd like to say that now I think things are changing, and changing our way. And there's a lot of politicians that have never seen, that don't seem to see it. But a man named Bob Dylan once saying, "The times they are changing." And folks, I think the times they are changing, and our time's coming now. So keep the good fight. And thanks very much.